Good morning. Today's scriptural reading is John chapter 9, verses 1 to 41. Throughout the season of Lent, we have been meeting characters in the Gospel of John and been challenged to see life on its many levels. We met Nicodemus and looked at the process of being born over and over in life. We met the woman at the well who had a conversation about the many kinds of thirst we have and living water to quench our thirst. Today we meet an unnamed blind man who can actually see more clearly than most people around him and see how his healing reveals others' blindness. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which meant sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees, who also began to ask him how he had received his sight, he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how. We do not know how it is that he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, and though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "Well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Any of you ever seen a picture kind of like this? Sometimes they're on posters on the wall, patterns like this. Usually they're pictures, and apparently in them is hidden an image if you look at it right. Anybody ever seen one of these? Try the next one. Yeah? There's a couple more. Yeah, that's good. Just leave it at that one, because maybe if people look at it right, they'll see what's in it. They tell me that actually when it's a poster, if you start really up close to it with your nose like right up against it and kind of blur your eyes a little bit and slowly step back and back and back, you'll actually see the image that's in the picture. Can anybody see it? Yeah. Me neither. I've never been able to see these things. And I've heard enough people tell me that they can see things in them. And at a certain point, I start to think, you know what? This is a very particular kind of madness that's intended to make me look foolish. Because I've stood with my nose up against these posters and stepped back, and I can just imagine the people behind me that sort of put me up to it just laughing as I make a total fool out of myself trying to see this thing that is supposed to be in there. That's, well, I don't know. Apparently it's a matter of perception. You can see it? You did? Really? You can? What? Tell me, what do you see in that picture? Oh, you got to get it again. There it is. Can anybody else see it? Anybody else in the choir? See, do you see what the madness that I'm talking about? You see? All right. Well, clearly, it's a perception thing. He can perceive it. I can't never perceive these things. So much is a matter of perception. I was reading a story this week about a minister who became a prison chaplain. And so she spent a lot of her life dealing with a particular slice of the population that was often perceived as kind of rough, pretty tough, sometimes tragic, sometimes kind of messed up, and perceived in a whole lot of different ways. And she went into her time as a chaplain expecting to come in contact with harsh people. The more time she spent there, the more she realized that she was not dealing with the clever jackals and the parasitic vultures of our society, not at all. Rather, she saw a wide spectrum of wounded and broken people. Wounded by others, broken by their own actions, and people whose faith struggles and faith insights were profound. What you initially see is not necessarily what you get. There's more to the picture than meets the eye. Sometimes what we see in each other and what we see in the world is not something we have kind of the native ability to see, like images in pictures like that, where some can see it and some can't, just because of the way you're built. But rather, what we see in each other, in ourselves, in society, can be a human construction. Lenses we wear, either the ones we were given through our upbringing or the ones we have chosen. And our scripture reading for the day is a classic and beautifully crafted story from the Gospel of John about Jesus revealing the reality of the lenses people are using to see each other. So let's take a look at it. And you might want to just go to black or something, because I don't think they're hearing a word I'm saying, because they're trying to figure out. Yeah, anyhow. The story begins with a theological question from his disciples. There's a man who is blind, unable to see, and they immediately ask for the cause. And ask, is the cause, whose sin created this blindness? They don't say, is it sin? They just assume, well, somebody must have sinned, otherwise you wouldn't be blind. And Jesus says, nonsense. Nonsense. Well, clearly 2,000 years ago, it was commonly held that illness or physical anomaly had moral and spiritual roots to it. But not so according to Jesus. All of our differences and our abilities and inabilities are opportunities for the glory of God to be revealed. And the man is healed. So, from here in the story, people try to start explaining what happened and what does it mean. The man's explanation is consistent all the way through. Just the facts. I was blind. He put mud on my eyes. I went and washed. I can see. It's as simple as that. First, though, the neighbors come up and take a shot. Oh, this must be a different guy. It just looks like him. Nope. It's me. Then the Pharisees take a go at it. And here we see where they layer on theology and politics on this situation and on this person. Healing is a spiritual thing, and it's our job to make sure it happens according to the ways and the rules. Jesus did it on a Sabbath. That goes against God's teaching. Who does he think he is? Oh, this healing has become political and theological. Meanwhile, the healed man is wondering, why are you making this so complicated? I was blind. I can see. What's the problem? And then they go to the parents. Is this your son? Was he really blind? What's your explanation? Well, the parents don't have one. They are baffled, though, by the questions. Well, ask our son. He was there. We weren't even there. So they go back to the son. How could this happen? It doesn't fit with our categories. This story, the physical change is simple. I was blind, now I see. But you can see the layers of meaning people are trying to place over top of that story. The disciples initially want to give it a moral layer. They want to kind of put moralistic glasses on and say, then I'll be able to see who sinned and who didn't and what the consequences are. Jesus says, take those off. The neighbors want to see it as a social thing. Is this the same guy? Is there somebody new in town that looks just like him? And probably they were asking, oh, so what do we do with our pity of him now if he's no longer blind? And for the Pharisees, we got the theological and the political implications. And in the end, after giving all these layers of meaning a good working over, the writer of the gospel reveals that the perceptiveness of the blind one and the blindness of the ones who thought they saw things clearly. There's a great reversal that goes on in this story. And the closing question is left hanging in the air, and it comes in the voice of the Pharisees. Surely, we're not blind, are we? Well, that feels like the question of the day. In what ways do we see the world through lenses that actually make it harder for us to see ourselves and each other and the world as God sees it? Has anybody watched the Dallas Buyers Club yet? Anybody? No? A couple of people. Well, if you're up for it, if you're willing to kind of brace yourself for a bit of a raw experience, it's really interesting. This is Ron Woodruff. This is in his Oscar-winning performance. An outrageous, rough electrician and rodeo enthusiast who contracted HIV in the 80s, lost all of his friends, and was forced to confront his anti-gay attitudes as he ventured into relationships with other people who had HIV. It's based on a true story. Many folks were seen at the time as reaping the rewards of their sinful lifestyle, and many were isolated from friends and family, and he among them. And if you listen to our friends who we supported around Christmas time with Christmas hampers at the ACP Net, Afro-Canadian Positive Network of BC, folks who work with people who have come to Canada from Africa with HIV, apparently the isolation and struggle continues. The fear and misunderstanding and prejudice continues. Well, if you're thick-skinned enough for a pretty coarse movie, but an insightful one, it's a good one to watch and see how the lenses of shame and judgment work in our society. 2 weeks ago, the world bid farewell to the founding pastor of Westboro Baptist Church, Fred Phelps. Pastor Phelps was a virulent activist against gay and lesbian people, fomented hate that often took a very personal form, protesting at funerals, schools, concerts. brandishing signs like "God hates fags," was just really raw and hateful. And although clearly his message is fringe in our society, thanks be to God, he inhabited an edge of society that can't resist wearing the lens of moral judgment. In Jesus' name. As stark as these two examples of are, the truth is that we do wear lenses. We do wear filters as we see the world. And those filters create blind spots in our vision. We make judgments of people in situations we don't understand, not because we want to be judgmental, but because we don't understand. Whether it is cultural difference, ethnic difference, racial difference, difference of sexual orientation or gender identity, differences created by illness, we all have blind spots, have blindnesses. And the gospel story calls us into the question of the Pharisees. Surely, we are not blind, are we? Are there elements of what we believe about God and the human condition that make us prejudge others and ourselves? My goodness. Are you hearing this? This is awesome. I love the soundtrack of this sermon. I hope it's being recorded. The gospel, though, the gospel calls us to a radical openness to humanity in ourselves and in the other. To the creation of community circles of people willing to share our lives, our humanity, to seek a depth of relationship that is honest and open and respectful and compassionate, such that the lenses fall away. That's the gospel call. And this morning, we baptized Riley. And we prayed for the Spirit of God to work in and through her in her life. And we prayed for her family. We also pray that the Spirit of God will work in the community and in the world around her as she makes her way through her life, so that the world that she inherits, the Christian community that helps Kelly and Renee to raise her, is one that constantly asks, "We're not blind, are we?" That constantly longs to see more clearly, more the way God sees. And I think God wants Riley to grow up in a community willing to question our assumptions about each other and to change our perceptions. I believe God wants Riley to grow up surrounded by people who dare to see the world without prejudice. And I believe God wants Riley and all of our children to be immersed in community willing to define family the way Jesus defined his circle, where simply being a child of God, and that includes all of us, gives you a place at the table. And I believe God wants Riley and all of our children to grow up in a community that is willing to be real community. Not pseudo-community, but community willing to ask of ourselves, are we blind? Are there things that we need to let go of so that we can see more clearly? Willing to dare, really dare, to see each other and ourselves the way God sees. And therefore to love each other and ourselves and anyone who walks through the door, and people who arrived from other parts of the world, and people who were sleeping under our trees. the way God sees and loves. And if we can do that, well, let's just say, let's do it for Riley. And then we will have done it for all of us. Then we will have done it for God. May it be so. Amen.